in sonnets like number 12, Shakespeare uses poetic devices or techniques to draw our attention to something in a poetic line or phrase. For example, in the opening couplet, he uses alliteration pretty specifically in the line, "When I do count the clock that tells the time," to draw our attention to something. Here it's a sound effect that sets up the entire poem. The sound effect seems to echo the very passage of time or the movement of time on a clock. And it's in this opening here, kind of an auditory image, that he suggests where the poem is going. The entire opening quatrain, the first four lines, continue to develop this theme or this direction. In these first three images that he provides us in line 2, 3, and 4, he does that through images that seem to be connected by color, so that we can see the brave day sunk in hideous night. There's an entire palette of color that our mind immediately associates with that image. That he follows then with, "When I behold the violet past prime." Well, obviously this is a flower, but it's also a color, again, in this palette that is tending towards darkness. And finally, "Sable curls, all silver or with white," so that this rich black hair is moving towards silver or gray. So mutability, or the passage, or inconstancy of things of this world, is a central theme, obviously, in many of the sonnets. And here he's starting us off, watching the passage of time. He does that through alliteration. He does it through imagery. One other effect I find interesting in Sonnet 12 is how he uses antithesis, a strong contrast of two words or phrases that he balances maybe in a line or in two associated lines. We've already seen antithesis in line 2 when he pairs the brave day and watches it sunk into hideous night. I mean, the two are balanced there in the line in a way that we immediately connect them. Well, he continues that antithesis in the second quatrain, "When lofty trees I see barren of leaves," that we're moving in these balanced kind of couplet, or these balanced couples, I guess, or pairs, from something that is briefly beautiful, called to our imagination, and then is changed or altered by time. It seems to me that the organization of the entire poem is one of antithesis, calling to mind something beautiful and then changing it in what follows, so that through this heaping of image upon image, we see the dark effects of time as we're moving towards, in the final four lines, one small, faint, and maybe easily overlooked ray of hope. Since after these beauties, we finally see that nothing, he suggests, against time's scythe can make defense, save breed to brave him when he takes thee hence. So the only consolation, or the one slight consolation that the poem offers at the end, in response to all of this mutable world, is that of children. That beauty can survive the ravages of time only through copying itself and passing itself on to a future generation.